AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
We continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Hey, make sure you have the free iHeartRadio app. Download it. Listen to the podcast. Kevin puts it up the minute we go off the air each and every day. During the noon hour, we carry Darvin Ham's news conference. If you missed it, and later you're driving around, you want to hear what the Laker coach had to say to the media, all you got to do is download the app, pop up the podcast, and it's sitting right there for you. And if you've got the app, you can stream the show wherever you go, live. It's the free iHeartRadio app. Call Pacific Coast Termite for a free home inspection before termites start doing their damage. Certain restrictions apply. Mention AM 570 and get 10% off termite treatments and a 2-year guarantee on their work. Call 800 Pacific. That's 800 Pacific. And now with the Daily Haiku at 2.
Oh, yeah.
We welcome on the man, the myth, the legend, Vic the Brit. And Vic, good afternoon.
I'm a ham man. Good afternoon, Freddie.
Not exactly kosher, Vic.
It's totally kosher right now.
Is there such thing as kosher ham?
No.
Oh, I'm sure. You can make some kosher ham.
No, there's no kosher ham. There's
kosher hot dogs.
Sure. It's a great point, Rodney. Right?
Yeah, but kosher hot dogs. But that kosher hot dogs would not be made out of pork. Ham is.
Depends how you connotate ham.
There you go. No kosher burgers? Hamburgers?
Absolutely, Rodney.
Just be a kosher burger.
Again, grow your mind, Fred.
Yeah, Freddy. You don't eat the swine, Fred.
The swine.
Rodney Peet. He's Vic, beyond Vic. Kosher. You are beyond kosher.
Yeah. Talk to him, Vic.
Beyond kosher.
Swine.
He's all things for all people. He's relentless. Put your hands together for Kevin Figures.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a story where there was, at one point, a kosher certified ham. But then they tried to verify it in Israel with this whoever determines what's kosher and what's not. And they said that it got the actual seal of approval as being kosher. And apparently they said, no, it is not. We are not approving this as a kosher product.
There you go. Mm.
And for the simple fact that it's ham and it's pork, that it can't be kosher.
Right.
Seems like
it's an oxymoron.
Yeah. Exactly. Oxymoron. Don't get caught up in the pure definitions of anything anymore.
Right.
On the ones and the twos, and the threes and the fours, he is the king of audio dynamite, Ronnie Foster.
Of course, your friend, y'all. King Flavor, yeah.
Are you guys with me on this? Mesmerized by 35 minutes of Darvin Ham.
He was good, Vic.
Yes.
When your new head coach is talking role players, I mean, who else is going to talk Austin Reeves, Stanley Johnson at a press conference?
They were also there in attendance, so that probably helped. You had to take one look to the left, and they were standing right next to Russell Westbrook.
I'm just remember the name?
Possibly.
That is going to be the key, because this team was so soft last year. Ham was tough. You look at Darvin Ham's career. As he said, I didn't throw behind the back passes. I didn't do fancy dunks. He was blue collar. He was tough, and he executed.
Hey. Speaking of dunks, go check it out. Anybody listening, go check out the. Just put in dunks, Darvin Ham, and watch some of his dunks at Texas Tech. What he did, pretty impressive. Broke the back.
The North Carolina dunk when he shattered the board. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But that wasn't his game.
He dunked with thunder though.
Oh yeah, he was so strong.
Yeah.
We all remember 2004, that ugly five-game sweep of the Pistons over the Lakers.
Yeah.
Darvin was, you know, an integral, you know, member of the reserves. But he's already hooked up one of his teammates, because Rasheed Wallace is going to be a Laker assistant coach, according to The Athletic. He's already hooked up. Rasheed Wallace will be on the Laker bench, according to The
Fred.
Athletic. Which Fred? I love. I love Rasheed Wallace.
That's not done yet.
Fred.
That's not done yet, Vic.
According to The Athletic, it's done.
Well, he just said it wasn't done.
No, he can say what he wants. Listen, he gave so much love to Budenholzer, you know, Coach Bud. And you got to remember, Bud, 12 years a disciple of Popovich. So that's where we're going. He doesn't get better than Pop. And Darvin is a direct, you know, descendant of the Popovich coaching tree, you know, from Budenholzer to Darvin Ham. So what the Lakers are getting is such a solid coach. You know, X's and O's, preparation, film room, communicator, toughness, man, toughness. I am very impressed for the Darvelous one.
For the Darvelous one?
That's what I call him, the Darvelous one.
That's what he is, Vic, the Darvelous one?
The Darvelous one. I mean, and when he talks about Westbrook, he loves Westbrook. And that's the way you have to come into this gig. You've got to give Westbrook the freedom to change his game, to talk to Russ. And Russ was in the room, absolutely, you know, in El Segundo. But it's beyond being in the room. Russ must buy in, and he will buy in. And most importantly, as he said, Anthony Davis must buy in. Get a consistency. Stay healthy for the whole season. You know, get back to that, you know, incredible mindset in the bubble that Anthony had. And then Bron's got to buy in. Bron's got to self-sacrifice. He said the word sacrifice a lot, which I've been saying, you know, for decades. Self-freaking-sacrifice. Everyone on that team has to subjugate and play defense. They played no defense last year. Ham knows that.
Well, I think
Ham
the league
saw
knows that
as a Bucks assistant coach. You play the Lakers, you're playing a sieve. A defensive sieve.
Hey, you think if Trevor Ariza had been there, he would have mentioned him?
No. I don't think Trevor's with the squad. That's just me.
Wayne Ellington?
All free agents?
Think he'd have shouted him out?
If he had love, absolutely. I don't think they're part of the master plan of the Lakers moving forward. They got Pelinka's got a lot of work to do with the basketball committee, as they now like to be called. But the bottom line is, Darvin Ham is a Budenholzer devotee who was a devotee of Greg Popovich. So what the Lakers are getting is a sensational X's and O's communicator, you know, and part of this new generation of NBA head coaches that have achieved, you know, success. Instantaneously, like you don't need guys who have been there before to achieve instant success. You look at Memphis. You look at the job around the league. Who is not head coaches? Their first head coaching gig. Look around the league. You got to be a first time head coach sometime. Darvin Ham's a head coach for the first time. 11 years in the league. He's paid his dues. He's learned from the great ones of this time and space. So this was the sensational hire.
Hey, Vic, can I get your take on something?
Of course, Fred.
Okay, we played this earlier. Just wondering what you think. Because you've got a huge heart. You know, you always put things into perspective. And you can always look at the bright side of things, no matter how bad it is. You have that ability, and that's why we love you. So this comes from the Northwest Regional Emmy Awards. And again, if you're just joining us, you know, there are Emmy Awards for local TV around the country, and they're in regions, the Rocky Mountain states, Southern California, Pacific Northwest, and they give awards for different things, best sportscast, best reporting, best weather, best investigative. So it's a pretty big deal, and all the markets have these. So this comes from the Pacific Northwest, and KGW basically won the Station of the Year, and that's a station in Portland, Oregon, KGW. Well, they present the award to the general manager, then the other people speak. And then we cannot figure out who this woman is. We've looked it up. We cannot figure it out. We have to believe that in some way she's associated with the winning station.
Yeah. What if she's not?
Well, then we've got a real problem. There's a huge problem. So, assuming that she is associated with the winning station, after the speech, and this is the end of the awards, she's going to wrap this all up. She comes on stage, she takes the microphone, and does this.
Hey, I'm that that, like, interrupts everything to say that as beautiful as in Portland, Portland's in the house. And I want to say that with everything that's happened in Portland, we bless what happened in Seattle to get us where we are today. But again, there's a lot of things missing tonight with people, and there's people missing on visually where we are in everyone, there was a lot of men thanking their wives tonight, of thanking them for what they've come through, but wives, there wasn't enough wives up on the stage tonight of thanking their just lives in general. So I just want to say we need to talk about that and make that a point in all of that. Like, thank you for your wives, and I appreciate all those guys that it, but there was a lot of men up on the stage tonight thanking their wives.
Boy, I'm still watching the awards, and the weirdest thing just happened. We hope to see you all next year for the 60th annual Northwest Regional Emmy Awards. Where's the security for real?
Okay, now, Vic, the reason he said, where is the security for real, after they tried to play her off, is because on the video you see, this guy runs up to try to end this fiasco, and she starts dancing around behind him. She is now dancing behind this guy.
The guy that just said that?
Yeah. And it's at that point he goes, where is the security for real?
And not like legit dancing, Rodney and Vic. It's kind of like the, you know, the inflatable thing you see at like used car lots that are just blowing around. That's kind of how she was dancing.
No. Please send it to me, Kevin. Please.
All right, I'll send it to you.
It's 3 hours and 4 minutes in. That's where it is.
Yeah, obviously, she had a fragmented game plan going in for a speech to, you know, put a bow on it. Obvious. I really had no big problem with it. She had a couple of cocktails. She was a little out of control, but
Vic,
I really didn't have a big problem with what with her performance. I didn't see it live. I just heard it. You know, she wanted more representation for women, you know, up at the podium. Basically, she had maybe, you know, maybe a couple of margaritas in her system, but I wasn't inflamed, you know, at the audio. Yeah, she was a little, maybe she had a little tipsy, but she just had a hard time, you know, stringing together thoughts because of maybe some alcohol intake. But I don't know why he called for security. She was a little out there.
A little?
Yeah, a little out there. So this is an award ceremony. There's always going to be a little outlier. She was a verbal outlier. Big deal.
She did say at the very beginning, by the way, I'm that a-hole that interrupts everything. So they should have been tipped off by that.
Yes.
So she's the one who said it first. Let me see. Can you turn me back up here, Ronnie, for a second?
Hey, I'm that that, like, interrupts everything.
That's the first thing
she
said.
She wasn't scheduled to speak.
She was not. No.
Oh, no. That's even worse.
Vic, you cannot consider her performance solid.
No. I said it's fragmented.
Yeah. Vic, she was drunk.
Yeah. I'm really not freaking out over her performance. She was a little drunk at an award ceremony, and she wanted more, you know, female representation at the, you know, at the podium.
You were able to decipher that part of it, huh, Vic?
Absolutely.
Too many wives, too many husbands thanking their wives.
Too many husbands thanking their wives, exactly. She wanted more wives thanking their husbands.
Vic, you always see the bright spot. You always see the silver lining.
Well, talking about bright spots, did you guys see the MTV movie and TV awards last night from the Barker Hangar in Santa Monica?
Was anybody like that?
I'm sure there was some alcohol imbibed, but you know, these are professionals. I mean,
so what was she?
What was she doing?
She's not a professional.
I mean, Jack Black wins Comic Genius Award, comes out, did a couple of backflips on the stage. He was tremendous. Jack says, "I don't deserve this, but I'll take it." Jack Black was tremendous. Olivia Rodrigo beat out the Beatles for Best Music Documentary. Driving Home to You. Snookadelica was the in-house DJ.
Snookadelica?
Snookadelica was his DJ name last night at the hangar. And I love the performance in homage to Elvis. You know that new movie that I planted to see with you guys a few months ago with the dude from Anaheim playing Elvis Presley?
Yeah.
Austin Butler?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's breaking out. And they paid homage to it last night, to Tupelo Shuffle by Elvis. Ronnie, hit me. That's all right, mama. That's all right with you. That's all right. So you had Diplo and Sway Lee, both from Tupelo, Mississippi, where of course Elvis was from, and they just went crazy on stage with that. But you're going to get Elvis coming out June 24th. It's getting rave reviews already. Boss Luhrmann, sensational director, has captured the spirit of Elvis and more. And Austin Butler out of Anaheim. I told you guys to start at the Orange County Fair. So it's going to be really cool. But Elvis got a lot of love last night. And Diplo had a very busy weekend because at the Kiss FM Wango Tango, Diplo at dusk was sensational. So Diplo, it was a Diplo weekend, man.
Diplo was busy.
Shaking it up. Thank you, Ron. Woo! And talk about shaking it up. Darvin Ham, again. Congratulations, Darvin, the Darvelous one. This haiku is for you on this June 6th.
Darvin Ham?
It's for Darvin.
And who was the haiku master that came up with it?
Well, inspired by Kobe. You know, he got the Kobe question because he was spending a lot of time with Kobe back in 2011 when he was an assistant with the Lakers. Another reason I believe he got the gig was his familiarity with the franchise. But he and Kobe spent a lot of time in the film room, coaching it up. So this is for Darvin, inspired by the Great Mamba. Haiku for you on this June 6th, crossroads of the Lakers franchise. Complete mastery of techniques developed by reflection within the soul, achieving the great tranquility. As Darvin Ham says, you gotta sweat your talkers off. I'm feeling you. Accountability, y'all.
Darvin Ham did not say at any point, you have to sweat your tuchus off.
I put words in his mouth, Fred.
Well, but you said as he said.
Well, that's what I got out of his 35 minutes.
Okay.
There were Accountability, and we're gonna play some D. That's what I got. We're going to play some D. Both ends of the court, it's all connected. There is no O if there's no D. I mean, these are simple concepts that have not been in the Laker game plan for a long time.
Well, to be honest, Vic, that's what Frank Vogel said.
Not really.
Yes,
there's
really.
There's a disconnect, Fred.
There's
a disconnect, man. Listen, everyone's to blame for the debacle of going 16 games below 500 last year. No one is innocent. You know, that includes LeBron James. I mean, everyone deserves a guilt in a season from hell. And you got to buy into Darvin Ham's philosophy because it is so spot on.
Vic, I think Fred's point is, I mean, he's saying the same things that Frank Vogel said.
I don't remember Frank saying these things.
Frank was a defensive guy, Vic, and think that his strength was defense, and he preached and preached and preached about defense.
Right.
And they actually won a title because of their defense.
But you can preach and preach, Rodney, but no one listens.
They won a title because of they were the best defensive team in the league that year.
And yeah, Anthony Davis was healthy. 18 months ago, yeah.
And Anthony Davis was healthy. I mean, there are a lot of factors into the bubble ring. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. But in reality, where are they now? I mean, it fell apart. You know, Humpty Dumpty fell off the freaking wall.
Picking up the pieces
is Darvin Ham.
Yeah, no. Actually, I did hear that
Humpty
come out of Darvin
freaking
Ham's
Dumpty.
Mouth. I heard that. I heard him say Humpty Dumpty fell off the freaking wall. And I'm here to pick up the pieces.
I thought Palinka might have gone there, but he didn't.
No.
Palinka has some great stories, you know, of biblical references, but there was nothing like that from Palinka. It's basically, we're going to, you know, roll our sleeves up and let's get this right.
Were you looking for those references from Palinka, Vic?
I love when he delves into, like, you know,
the passages from the Bible and all those.
The food from the heaven and, you know, the manna. I like that. Yeah, I do.
Wasn't KCP like food from the heavens?
Yes, that's what that quote was about. It was about KCP.
Yes. Yeah.
Manna from heaven.
Listen, I wish we had KCP right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
He is like bread of the heavens. You know why? Because he plays defense and he has a great three-point shot. That's the kind of role players Lakers need.
Wasn't it like
they're going to find those role players. That's the call key.
Well, wasn't it like the Israelites were moving through the desert?
Yes.
And then they looked up and suddenly food appeared.
Mother. I said, baby, you're out of time.
And that was KCP. Wasn't that one?
He was like a slice of bread. He was like a slice of manna, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, like Caruso. Caruso was also a slice of heaven.
Caruso was a slice of heaven?
Absolutely was a slice of heaven. Hey, he played defense.
Compared to what they ran out there last year, yes. He absolutely was.
No doubt. This is what the Lakers have to get back to. Role players. Darvin Ham was a role player. They're going to be a reflection of Darvin Ham.
Vic, let me ask you a question. They need role players, right? And Darvin Ham was a role player. Is Darvin Ham going to be a player coach? Because where are they going to find these role players? That's what they thought they did last year. Had a bunch of role players.
Role players that did not fit the bill. Never fit into the scheme. Never bought in. You know, it was such a disaster last year. And it ran deep. I mean, everyone has to be accountable. But there was some performances, I'm sure, that, you know, Ham mentioned. He mentioned Reeves.
Yes, he did.
He mentioned Stanley.
Yeah, because Kevin said they were there.
He wanted to develop players. That's his history. And the Lakers, you know, don't have a history of developing players to their fruition and keeping them. They usually let them go. There's been so many, you know, wonderful players over the past 5-7 years. The Lakers have just let go. I think Darvin's going to develop them and have them blossom before our eyes. That's the key to Darvin Ham. He's going to develop players. That's one of his mindsets, and I dig that. Now, I'm just so happy with Darvin Ham. I really, after hearing him speak, we all did, and he is a piece of enlightenment. I really believe that.
Well, yeah, I think he was impressive, Vic. But given what you're saying, I think he'd be better suited to play because that's what they need, players.
Well, isn't that Palinka's job? The basketball committee will get together.
What was that about? Vic, what is that about, Vic? Committee.
It's a newly formed phrase by the Lakers, the basketball committee. That's got to be Palinka, the Rambuses, Phil Jackson.
The Lakers put this out, the committee.
It's the brain trust. It's who makes decisions. And then, obviously, directly.
But the Lakers self-titled it the committee.
Yes.
Did they?
Yes, the basketball committee.
And who's in the committee again? I'm sorry.
Well, obviously, Palinka, the GM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say the Rambuses are in the committee.
Well, at least Kurt.
And Linda.
Linda's in the committee.
Is she in the committee?
Well, I think Jeannie told Bill Plaschke that she's not involved in basketball decisions. Jeannie says.
So. Okay. Well, Linda's not in the committee.
So the committee was Rob and Kurt.
And Is Phil in the committee? Obviously, there's
voices in the room that we are not privy to, who also, I think, lead to decisions.
But is obviously, Phil in the committee? Phil's
definitely in the ear of Jeannie. I mean, that's
But is he in the committee, though?
Well, I think it's a floating committee at this point. It's a fluid committee. But, you know, it's Pelinka and friends at this point. That's the committee right now.
That's a morning show.
Pelinka and friends. Good morning, Pelinka. Humpty Dumpty fell
Where's
off the
Willard
freaking
Scott
wall.
When you need him?
You know who'll know who's in the committee?
Who's that?
Jovan Buha.
Yes. Yes.
We'll find out next.
Humpty Dumpty fell off the freaking wall.
Trey Turner with a shot to left. It's deep. It's on its way, and it is long gone.
The LA Dodgers are on the road in Chicago to take on the White Sox. Don't miss a moment of the action on AM 570 LA Sports and streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
It's free. What do you have to lose?
This is what it's about.
The home of the Dodgers. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck kicks off tomorrow at 4.
AM 570.
LA Sports.
Hey, it's your girl Nina Chantel. You're listening to my homies Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Your home of the Dodgers.
Oh, yes. Let's go! Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan on a beautiful, beautiful Southern California Monday. Let's roll, Freddie.
So Darvin Ham is the Lakers' free agent signing. You know, our listeners are very informed and astute. I think it's exciting. You know, a fresh start, a new beginning. And that's what you have to do, given what they did last year. But our listeners are very intelligent. And everybody that called said the same thing. That's great. Now, what about the players? That's terrific. What about the players? All right. Jovan Buha of The Athletic was down there this afternoon. Jovan, thanks for jumping on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with this. And we were trying to figure this out. You'll have the answer. Rob Pelinka talked about the basketball committee. Who is on the basketball committee?
there's a lot of people. There are the buses. There's Jeannie, Joey, and Jesse. There's Rob Pelinka. There's the Rambuses, Kurt and Linda. And then there's some outsourcing to Magic Johnson, Phil Jackson. And so I guess that makes it about eight or so people. But you also have, of course, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Clutch. It could be anywhere between like 6 to 15 people, depending on who you talk to.
We're on the basketball committee.
Was this and this was publicly stated that they have the basketball committee.
Yeah, they didn't say who was on it, but they did state that there was, you know, a process that of the people involved in the hiring and who interviewed the coaching candidates and whatnot. It's unclear who exactly is in it, but we do know Magic and Phil have been doing some consulting.
Well, listen, I get that because most organizations will have a committee for a coaching search or, you know, a basketball head of operations search in any sport. They'll do that. But going forward, this committee is going to still exist to help make decisions?
That's unclear to my knowledge, but I would assume so. I know Jeannie said in an interview with The Athletic earlier in the year that Magic has still been consulting. She kind of gave some context to it of basically since he left the team, he's still been involved and consulting. In 2019 he left. So I think, yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like. It's not just a coaching thing. It is a roster decision thing. It is a draft thing. There are a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And, it worked a couple of years ago with the title, but it obviously has not worked the last couple of years.
Okay, so what were your takeaways from the news conference? I was really impressed with them. Was that the sense you got from the people down there?
Yeah, I think the sense was very impressive with just, both his ability to talk X's and O's and talk about, you know, offensively, we want to kind of modernize things and play a four-out, one-in system, which basically implies, Anthony Davis is probably going to be playing a lot more center next season. And, I think the Lakers have seen a lot of success with those lineups over the past 3 years. So I think that's kind of the natural evolution for AD. But then he also talked about the defensive end and saying that, you know, he needs the three stars to set a tone on that end. And that will really kind of, you know, carry over to the offensive end, is like, you know, we need to be a good defensive team first, which this team had been, you know, in two of the three previous years under Frank Vogel. But obviously last year was a bit of a disaster on that end. But also I thought really the important thing was the preaching accountability. And that is something that Rob Pelinka had mentioned in his exit interview a couple months ago, saying that, you know, with the coaching search, they wanted a coach who could command the locker room, have that gravitas to really get guys to buy in and exhibit some toughness that he didn't feel like what was shown last season. So, you know, Darvin Ham said he's going to hold, you know, 1 through 15 on the roster accountable, and he's going to treat LeBron, AD, and Russ the same way he's going to treat the back end of the bench guys. So I know sometimes that stuff is coach speak, but from everything I've heard, it seems like he's very committed to that, you know, kind of mentality and culture. So if he's able to do that and get Russell Westbrook to buy in, I do think we should see better results next season.
Yeah, but we know that LeBron James not going to get treated like Austin Reeves. We know that's not the case.
For sure.
And I get it. It is coach speak, and he definitely has all the ingredients. I mean, look, he's a former player. He's paid his dues as an assistant coach. He's been a part as a player, a championship team, and as a coach, a championship. So he's got all of those ingredients, I think, that can make him really successful. Do you think, and I know this was part of the hire, is how much control he has. Do you think the Lakers are willing to give up that control? I know we just talked about the committee, but give up the control to him to let him do it his way, to hopefully see if he can bring great results?
I think so. I think that the Lakers will always be, I mean, you go franchise to franchise, there are different levels of meddling from ownership. Like, you know, a Mark Cuban is going to be more involved in Dallas than some other owners around the league, right? And certain front offices are a little bit more involved. I think with the Lakers, you always will have that level of ownership, you know, and the front office being involved and having some say in basketball decisions and what's happening on the court. But I do think that they learn from the Frank Vogel situation, and really the optics the entire time, you know, from lowballing Ty Lue and Monty Williams in their coaching search to kind of settling on Vogel. And then he wins a championship for them and they give him a 1-year extension, and he's basically a lame duck coach. And then, you know, he gets fired as he's walking off the court in the final game of the season. Like, there were a lot of missteps along the way with the Frank Vogel process. And, you know, another one being that they chose his coaching staff. So, you know, as of now, reports are indicating that Rasheed Wallace is someone that's a strong candidate, if not someone that will be added to Darvin Ham's coaching staff. He was someone that played with Darvin in Detroit. They won that championship together in 2004. So it does seem like the Lakers will always kind of meddle to some extent, but I do think that Darvin is set up better than Frank Vogel was. He has a longer contract. I think he's going to have more autonomy with his coaching staff, with the coaching style, and I think he's going to be more empowered to handle the Russell Westbrook situation if the Lakers end up retaining Westbrook.
Something I found interesting that Darvin said, when talking about roster construction, he said, Rob and I are going to collaborate on the roster. Now, last year it was, here's your roster, Frank, go get them. But he was very careful to say, we are going to collaborate. Do you think that's a give the Lakers threw in there?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, I do think that the Lakers, they did take a lot of heat in coaching circles with the way the Vogel situation kind of played out. I think that, you know, looking at, I thought it was interesting that Quinn Snyder chose, you know, basically a couple of days after the Lakers hired Darvin Ham to come out and say that he wasn't going to be staying in Utah. Like, to me, you know, Quinn Snyder would have made a lot of sense, also a former assistant, but I don't think he wanted to take this Lakers job. And I know that he was someone that had kind of been, you know, disappointed with the way that Frank Vogel was treated. And, you know, the coaching fraternity is very sensitive and kind of, you know, looks at that stuff. So I do think that the Lakers, even had they not learned from their mistakes, I think just naturally going through this process, they were going to have to make some more concessions than they had previously made, because I think people no longer view this job the way it's been viewed for so long, which is, you know, arguably the best coaching gig in the NBA. So I think that was a part of it. And honestly, that's the best way to operate, because I think one of the biggest reasons why last year's roster just, you know, never really came together, aside from injuries, was they gave Frank Vogel a team that he couldn't really coach. It was not, you know, the style that team needed to play did not align with Frank's coaching strengths. And I think that if the Lakers can, you know, make a team that will fit Darvin's vision, that is a step in the right direction compared to last season, which was just a disaster on all fronts.
Yeah. What I also thought was very interesting is, you know, him talking about the big three and talking about Russ. And I do like the way he's acting as if Russ is going to be here. He's not getting caught up into, is he going to get traded? He's here now, so we're going to coach him. But the fact that he said Russ is going to be Russ, LeBron is going to be LeBron, but to make us go is going to take Anthony Davis, and really called him out, basically, that yeah. It is about Anthony Davis for our success. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I agree with him. You know, I think that AD has now had, you know, he came off arguably the best stretch of his career in the bubble in 2020, helping lead this team to a championship. I really thought it was a 1A, 1B situation. I mean, I thought that there were stretches where you could argue AD was their best player in the bubble and just so dominant. And really, when he's shooting the ball, the way that he shot then, he's just unguardable, because, you know, most big men aren't quick enough to defend him. So you'll see sometimes teams will put smaller guys on him, but you know, if he can shoot over those guys, really there's no way to defend him. So I think, you know, the last two seasons have been disappointing. I think, you know, he would admit as much. You know, still putting up 22, 23, you know, 9, 10 rebounds, a couple blocks, but looking at, I mean, this is a guy who a lot of people are saying he's the next Tim Duncan, he's the next Kevin Garnett, he's the next Dirk Nowitzki. And I mean, look, he was a top 75 player of all time, has won a championship, so I don't want to disparage what he's already accomplished in this league, but I would say again, for his talent and for his, you know, previously historic production, the last 2 years have been disappointing. So I think for me, you know, I agree with Darvin that if AD can get back to being that AD that he was in the 2019-20 season, or even that 2018-2019 guy he was in New Orleans, like that guy's a top five player, if not a top three player, and that level of production from him, I think, vaults the Lakers not only back into the playoff conversation, but potentially the contender conversation, because this team is going to be lacking depth, in my opinion. You know, they don't have the role players that they had, you know, their championship year. They lost some of that depth in the Russ trade. It's going to be hard to replace that in free agency. But if LeBron and AD can both be healthy and both be playing at a top 10 level, that's how you get back to a championship. So to me, you know, I think we'll see what happens with Russ. I'm probably more on the side of you still got to trade him. But if they do end up keeping him, if AD can get back to that level, I think that's the way the Lakers return to being contenders.
Yeah, but for him to get back to that level, he's got to stay healthy. And
yeah,
Darvin said,
no guarantees.
Yeah, right. We're going to do everything we can to support him so we can stay stronger longer. But history has dictated that that's not the case. And there have been conversations that, you know, maybe he doesn't work as hard as he should to prepare for a season. Do you think that'll change?
Yeah, I mean, I think the AD conversation is tricky, because if you look at some of the injuries he's had, they have been freak injuries where someone falls into his knee or whatever, falls into his ankle, or he just lands weird. But at the same time, you know, it feels like it's every other game that he's going back to the locker room, right? And having all these scares and, like, you know, first half, and he'll come back at halftime or in the second half or whatever. But, you know, I think at some point, even if it's a bunch of freak accidents, if you're having a couple of freak accidents a season, like, you are injury prone at that point, right? Like, you are brittle. Like, he's someone that has struggled to play 70 plus games. So, you know, I think he bulked up last season to play more center, to kind of withstand that. But then I think that ultimately had a bit of a cost on his lower body. And you saw him have an ankle injury, have a knee injury. So for him, I think it's probably actually slimming down and getting back to kind of that weight he was at in New Orleans. And then, yeah, I mean, he might be a guy that they just have to put on a load management program, similar to the way that the Clippers are handling Kawhi Leonard. Like, I don't, you know, maybe limiting some of his games might get him to that 60 to 65 that you want versus him trying to play every night. And inevitably, you know, he's going to play a three game in four night stretch and end up getting injured on that third game. Right. So I think for AD, you really got to look at his minutes. You got to look at his games, because he has now suffered, you know, he's missed over half of the last two seasons, to say nothing of his actual production when he's been healthy. So I think those two things are kind of intertwined, and you will see a better AD if he is healthy, but it might end up being, hey, if it's a back-to-back, you got to miss one of those nights. And, you know, I don't think he would like that. I know that he's kind of been anti-load management, but he's also basically been injured every year of his career. And at some point, you got to make that decision of, like, if you can't, you know, withstand that load, you're going to have to sit some games out.
Jovan, thanks for coming on. Love the insight as always.
Appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.
Back to wrap it up right after this.
Rogan and Rodney.
Rodney Peach.
An athlete.
Rodney Peach.
A father.
Rodney Peach.
An LA icon.
Rodney Peach.
And this guy.
Fred Rogan.
Boom!
AM 570 LA Sports.
And the first stop of the Petros & Money Chevy Summer Tour is this Friday. Join us for a live broadcast from Pool Party and Barbecue at the Elks Lodge in San Pedro, featuring live music, prize giveaways, including Dodger tickets, and more. Details on our Instagram at AM 570 LA Sports. It's presented by Chevrolet. Find new roads. Ronnie, Kevin, it was a crazy day. A lot going on. Well done. Appreciate it. Rodney, 2 hours for us tomorrow. We'll talk then.
Yes, sir. Turn floss on them, blind to a broken man's dreams. A hard lesson, court cases keep them guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cost me more to be free than a life in the pen. Making money off of cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the scene. What's the worst they could do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in LA on bail. My people say, live and die in LA.